It is the McNeil and Parkins Show live at Coombs Corner Sports Grill, owned and operated by the Score's very own Ron Coomer. What up, Coom Dog?
Not too much. Kind of scary, isn't it, Danny?
Yeah, I know.
Right.
We give you a live microphone. Yeah, that's scary enough.
Every day. Yeah, that's even, yeah.
One of the great things I love about the Cubs Sox playing each other is hearing all those old names get resurrected, like Wilson Alvarez.
Yeah.
That big, lopey left-hander long delivery, and you're just licking your chops at that heat.
Willie was my teammate in AA in Birmingham. Then he gets called up to the big leagues, throws a no-hitter for the White Sox. A few years later, I got him.
You got him.
I got him in Yankee Stadium.
Well, you played in some of these series. It's evolved, and it's evolved for a lot of reasons. No longer a novelty. I think more than anything, both teams have won the series now. Both teams have won the champ. You think that's the biggest reason it doesn't create the buzz it used to?
Probably. And it's happened a lot. When we were kids growing up here in the city, it was an exhibition, and you didn't have interleague play. And even to see your team, no matter what side of the city you lived on, have your guys, your starters, play for two innings against the White Sox starters and the Cubs starters, it's a big deal. Now, you know, we all understand it happens and it goes on, and I agree with you. I still like the fact that my own family gives me a hard time that are Sox fans and the Cubs fans. And so there's still a buzz at the park. It's still great because we're such a great sports city. But in general, I think interleague play has lost its allure in baseball. But these inner-city rivalry games are still good.
I would think growing up in Lockport, Sox fan growing up.
Oh,
yes?
I grew up at Midway Airport.
I knew you went to high school here.
I came out here, Danny, in the middle of high school. Boy, how popular was I on the south side of Chicago wearing a Cubs cap? It got me tough in a hurry, brother.
Yeah, but exactly. Coom, I'm with you. It's like, it's just a little bit better for the fans. Like, it's just a little bit, right? Like, it's not the most special thing in the world. It's not confrontational. It's not the World Series. But, like, I've got some friends that are Sox fans, and some of us are Cubs fans, and we don't ever talk trash to each other during the regular season. The teams are never good at the same time, except when these games happen.
Yeah. And half of our restaurant are going to the games this weekend. And this is, this is the environment of the people that go, right? And I agree. And, right now, obviously things are a little lopsided in the Cubs' favor with the way they've played.
You think?
But just a little. But you know what? Here soon, when both of these teams are good, this is really going to resurrect all of those old feelings of old names, people coming out. I can't wait. I always call it the Cell or Comiskey, but when you go out to Guaranteed Rate Park, it's going to be energized again when these young kids come up. And the young kids that we have currently with the Cubs are going to be the veteran guys. And it's going to be fun. I really like what the White Sox are doing, and obviously we like what the Cubs are doing.
It's the biggest thing left on the Chicago sports bucket list would be a Cubs-Sox World Series. It's the last box I feel like we could check.
Oh, I pray to God that I get to call that one. Yeah. Oh, my, right? I mean, we got to call a Cubs World Series, but to have that like they did in New York where you had that Yankee-Mets World Series, could you imagine what our city would be like if we did that?
Hey, if Justify can break the Apollo curse at Churchill Downs.
That's right.
Who's to say 10 years ago, first time we've ever seen both of them in the playoffs at the same time. Right. And we all can remember how electric this town was. And then the game started.
Yeah, right?
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the electricity's out in front of the ballparks. And, could you imagine what Clark and Addison and all these places? Yeah.
Well, speaking of an establishment.
Yeah.
So this is pretty cool for you, right? This is giving back to a neighborhood. And tell us about why this means more to you than just owning a restaurant.
Yeah, I've looked into this a few different times in Minnesota when they built a new ballpark. But my buddies, guys I played high school baseball with, who you guys have met earlier, this is where we really grew up. And on top of that, we grew up in this place. It opened when we first turned 21, 22, and it was a good restaurant. And you know what? We hung out here and had our beers here and, we're hanging out. And this place came available. And my couple of my high school teammates and buddies said, hey, the old Adams Pub, which there's a bunch of different names, is open to purchase, and it's a good price. What do you think? And, we started looking at it. And to me, Lockport has done, it's a great town. And they've done a ton for me and my family. and all my buddies are here, and this is where we hang out. And, you know, I just thought, why not, right? I mean, what the heck, right?
My favorite golf course ever is not far away.
Yeah, you're
and right. I wanted to drive by.
You're a Woodbine guy.
I was
too.
A Woodbine guy.
Homer Township.
Closed
Woodbine,
it down a few. The only golf course that guys like us can walk into and actually flirt with 80.
That's right.
Feel pretty good about our chances, but it closed down, and I just get so bummed out, so I didn't want to see it. But it is cool to see your second baseman, your teammate from high school.
Well, I've got five high school teammates in the house right now. All my summer league team guys are here. And that's when we were 16 years old. How do you beat that?
You guys were in here drinking as
21-year-olds. Yeah, now we're...
Oh, I bet there's some stories in that
group. Now they got to pay me to drink here, right? No, it's all good. We're having a blast. We've owned it for a while. For about a year, we did a full rehab on the building. And now it's our Lockport hangout. It's
nice. Yeah. Well, the food is really good, and thanks to Miller Lite for helping having us out today with you. $2 Miller Lights today. The trophy is going to be here. So what was Ron Coomer's high school stat line?
You know, I don't even know. I probably hit, you know, I was one of the state. I was an all-state player, let's just put it that way. So I did okay. You know, if you get to the big leagues, you should probably be an all-stater in Illinois.
You'd think so.
It should happen. I could hit a little bit. Yeah.
Parksy, I was stunned earlier today. Coombs told me he didn't play high school football.
Yeah.
Look at his shoulders guy.
That was probably a mistake, right? Mm-hmm. Especially in high school. I could have probably hit someone pretty good.
I would think so.
Yeah.
Did you have what Doug Buffon used to call the Neanderthal gene?
Yes.
I would think you did.
You know what I loved when I played hockey? Was the hitting. To me, I loved that whole idea. And maybe, you know, I was a good skater. You know, baseball worked out, but
baseball worked out pretty well for you.
But yeah,
so let's talk about a few things with the Cubs right now. I feel like part of our job sometimes people are like we ride the day to day wave with the fan base, but it's one of my least favorite parts of the job in baseball season because I just know that players don't do that.
Right?
Like I just
I heard you guys talking about it a couple days ago that we're talking around and what's the Darvish and everybody in the clubhouse like
We asked Al Morrow what the concern level was over the start scale of 1 to 10. He said -5.
-5, I heard.
So what types of things do players get concerned about when they're on good teams?
When you're on a good team, one, work ethic of the key players on the team. You know, it's those things that you see if a guy's lifestyle. We've all seen guys that have played in our game that, you know, you go, whoa, hold on now. Let's back it off a few notches. Cubs don't have any of those issues. And then health and, you know, you look around the room and if guy, you know, in New York when I played there, everybody was 35. We knew we had health problems. You know, we were the Geritol team. We're a great team, but we had issues.
So the idea would basically be like, you, as long as this team is healthy, they're going to be fine. But if something came up with work ethic or something like that, that'd be the issue.
And it would be. But I there's a whole bunch of guys right now that don't allow that to happen.
I mean, that's good.
The manager being one. But it's not always the manager that you want to be that guy to – I'll tell you, these young infielders that we got, Baez and Addy, you almost got to back them off from some of their work. Addison Russell works harder than any guy we got on the team. He's taking ground balls every day, whether we take BP or not. And you do, you have to back some of these guys off. They want another championship.
And
they
Addison really Russell on base 5 times yesterday.
Right?
Boy, it was a fight at the bat rack. That was a fun series. Yeah. 2 of the 3 wins, blowouts. Yeah. After, I mean, and again, you say players keep it in perspective. I still have to think a series like that takes a little bit of a chance, gives you a little bit of a chance to breathe.
No doubt about it, especially coming off the sweep against us in St. Louis where you sweep Milwaukee, tough series, good ball games. You go into St. Louis and get, you know, 2 walk-offs, and that's, you know, kick in the gut. And then you go and get the Marlins in Wrigley, and then you sweep them. So the Cubs that's been the Cubs this year. It's been a roller coaster ride, in particular for the offense.
Were you ever a part of a team that you felt like changed, whether it was hitting coaches or just offensive philosophy year to year?
Yeah, I did. Actually, the philosophy I dealt with the Minnesota Twins was a major 180 flip
really
to the Cubs when I was with Jeff Pentland. Totally different. Pentland wanted everybody to hit the ball in the air. Kind of what is going on now, wanted that ball up He made sense. He told me, he goes, every ground ball you hit is probably going to be two outs at Wrigley Field. And it was true. I mean, remember the old grass at Wrigley?
Yeah.
It was like Velcro. The ball, I had great range at third base then. That's how, you know, that's what it was like. You know, so he wanted everybody to hit the ball in the air and you know, make one out or hit it out of the yard. That's what he wanted. So that was a big difference for me.
So I'm curious if you're seeing that right now where it's like, they were second in the league in runs last year, and they fired the hitting coach.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make sense when you just say that there. So I've kind of tried to wrap my head around it by maybe they're going to take a step back early with the development and implementing the new approach to then take two or three steps forward come postseason time. Do you think that's why we're seeing offensive inconsistency?
You definitely have two totally different philosophies in Chili Davis and John Maley.
You think it's that drastic?
Totally different.
Okay.
Chili is an old-school hitting coach. Old school thoughts, understanding, because he's not a dumb guy, he's a really sharp guy, of understanding what is going on in our game currently. That's why he's been in coaching and doing well. But there are some things that Chili brings to the table with our young hitters who are really talented, but still the mechanical side of what they're doing isn't always sharp. I mean, we've watched Addison Russell, you know, have a long swing for a week and a half.
Mm-hmm.
We've watched Kyle Schwarber be underneath for a long time and couldn't catch up to the high fastball, but he kept swinging it. Well, I always call him Charles. Charles has an idea of how to do that. Chili understands the mechanic of the swing from doing it for a very long time and being really successful. I think it's a really good mix now of what he brings to the table in the young player that the Cubs have.
And it seems like it's such a radical shift, though, if Chili, Charles, if he's encouraging young guys to be aggressive, that flies right in the face of the Cubs' way of, the you know, making pitchers work deep into counts and getting your ass on base, even if it means walking.
Danny, there's some things that are going on in our game now where there's a slight change in the philosophy of taking a lot with certain guys pitching because the arms in the bullpen are so good that you get to the bullpen, that's not necessarily always a great thing for your team. Do you want to face the Cubs' arms coming out of the pen if they've got the lead? I mean, you're talking about 95 to 97, sharp slider. If that guy can't throw strikes next, they bring in and everybody's got those power arms. So the thought process of let's work hard to get the starter out of the game like I grew up trying to do. Now, you know, there's some yes and some no about that, because when you get into that fifth, sixth, seventh inning, these guys coming in are really tough.
So I know obviously every player would be different for the timetable, but when you went through that transition, or if you wanted to say what the norm would be, how long does it take for Chili Davis's approach to take in a young player compared to John Maley's approach, who a lot of these guys have had since they entered the big leagues?
I would say for Chili to get fully implemented, it'll probably take a year.
Really?
But I do believe we're seeing it already. We're seeing it with Addy. Yesterday was the shortest swing he's had all season. We've seen it with Kyle Schwarber right away. Kyle made a slight mechanical adjustment in spring, and all of a sudden we're seeing him use the other feel. You know, we're seeing some things.
What about Happ?
Ian Happ still has kind of an upshoot swing. He's trying hard to get on top of the baseball, but, you know, that it doesn't happen. It's not like you snap your fingers and all of a sudden you've made a mechanical change, because a guy like Happer is, you know, he's done it a long time one way, and now you're asking him to make these slight adjustments. It's tough.
Ron Coomer, my partner Danny Parkins, doesn't even want to entertain the idea anytime soon that Kyle Schwarber is going to wind up in the American League. He is going to wind up. It's a matter of when, isn't it?
I can't say that. I don't know.
Don't you think that would be to his benefit?
It probably fits. I can't say that it doesn't make some sense. But you're talking about a guy who, and he has had some hiccups in the outfield, and he's made some good plays. But you're talking about a year and a half ago, he was a catcher. And now he's trying to play the outfield. So he's trimmed down. He runs much better. Even though when he blows out a shoe every now and then, you know, that happens. You know, that's a lot of torque going into them cleats when you're in left field now. That's a big, strong guy. But I really think he's one of those players that doesn't accept failure all that well and figures out a way. You know, there's certain football guys we've seen that you go, well, they, They weren't great at the combine, but boy, you want him on your team.
Yeah.
Kyle is one of those guys offensively we know. I think he's one of those guys that you look at and go, he's one of those that you want on your team,
mm-hmm.
no matter how you, just by knowing him personally. He takes it to heart, and boy, when you get guys like that, you don't want to lose them.
And I love the ceiling conversation with prospects and draft talk and GM hats. I love it.
Oh, I've listened. I know you do.
His offensive ceiling is, what, second best player on the team behind Chris Bryant? Or maybe best player on the team?
Yeah, I mean, there's no telling. The Cubs have a few of those. I mean, you're talking about five of them.
Yeah.
You go down the list of players. Ian Happ's one of the best athletes in our game, right? I mean, he can fly. Javi, would you not say, boy, he's starting to figure out his.
Yeah.
Addison Russell, he's a 20 and 100 guy, right? But you look at Schwarbs, and Schwarbs is, he's all of a 40 home run guy. Is he not Jimmy Tomey from, you know, 25 years ago looking at Super Jim, and you go, that's going to be danger.
Yeah, I just can't give up
on him. But to your point, Danny, Jimmy went to the American League and didn't play third base. He went to first and then DH.
I'm thinking about you mentioning that he was just a catcher a year, and I'm Carlos Lee started as a catcher,
right.
then they tried to make him a third baseman, and he couldn't do that either.
No. You had to get him farther away from the ball.
He wound up being a serviceable left fielder. He wasn't good early. It's kind of similar. He reminds me a little bit of Schwarbs out there, but he wound up working his way. He worked hard enough to get serviceable.
No doubt. And he was a big offensive guy. Carlos Lee, though, I think, because I played against him for quite a while, he was a much bigger person, tall. Kyle, to me, is a better athlete moving around the field.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I think he has a little better chance anyways of being that average left fielder in the big leagues with big upside on the offense. It's just my opinion.
And then last guy I wanted to ask Ron Coomer about as we're here at Coombs Corner in Lockport. The trophy is here. Come on out. $2 Miller Lights. It's the grand opening of Ron Coomer's spot. Did you ever have a player that you played with that you would comp to Yu Darvish with what we're hearing about him mentally, like the mental side of the game, whether you want to call it fragile or high maintenance, whatever it is, however you would describe Yu Darvish, do you have a comp from your experiences?
I really don't. I don't know Darvish at all yet. How you doing? That's as far as we've gotten. To me, I look at what he's going through, and you go, okay, John Lester went through this 3 years ago, 4 years ago. Saw Jason Giambi go through a really terrible first month with the Yankees when I was there, and then all of a sudden he had one grand slam and things changed. I think it's important, and what's happening in the Cubs clubhouse is correct. You've got to give him a little chance to figure it out. New environment, culture, there's a lot of stuff going on with him. And who does he trust? This is a whole new group, right?
But he chose to sign here. Like, this isn't like when they traded for Quintana and it was one day he's on the White Sox, the next day he's on the Cubs, and he's got to learn. You know, he chose to sign here.
I agree. Yep.
He knew about the scouting reports. He was there in spring training. He was in the National League last year. So, like, some of those excuses fall flat for me with him.
I don't think there should be no excuses. There's not. I don't think you should make any. To me, you're better off saying, you know what? You look in the mirror, the old mirror. Eye test, I stunk today. Sorry. That's just the way it is. Right? If you come out and say that, that is what it is.
But I'm not hearing that.
No, I don't disagree. But we're not hearing anything really, right? We're hearing a little rumblings, but nothing. To me, I say you go another month and you see how he does and see if he gets on track. Because this guy he's got electric stuff.
That's the thing. Like, I still think he's going to be fine. It's just annoying. Like, it's an annoying storyline that people are not just saying, oh, he's bad.
Yeah.
It's stuff that I don't feel like should be excuses for a player of his caliber that's been there as long as he has. So, to me, it's hard to explain.
Yeah, I don't think – I haven't heard him make excuses. And I don't know, to be quite honest. I just don't. But I do believe that he's one of those guys that they've got to lean on to be – if we're going to play and get another one of them trophies, that's in the other room. He needs to be really good.
Agreed.
Period.
Coom, our program director, Mitch Rosen, was all a buzz earlier today when he was here. He's passing out sweet tickets to those of us on the show for Monday's game.
Very nice.
I said, Mitch, that's very nice of you, but apparently you didn't listen to our broadcast yesterday. because Pat Hughes told everybody that Monday has been canceled. Not the game, Monday in general.
Monday in general. Yeah, I asked him that, too. I go, did we just scratch it off the calendar? How are we doing with that? Yep. So. I'm not showing. Mitch, wherever you may be, I'm out.
Yeah, that'd be cool. We get Mondays out of the work week. That'd be fine.
Come on over here for dinner, guys. I know we're serving dinner.
Laugh so hard. Monday's off your schedule. Right. Cool. 3-day weekend. Yep. Parco, you get 4.
Monday is not on your schedule.
Perfect. Well, Ron, congratulations on the spot. The food was fantastic.
Thanks,
had lunch.
Guys.
Thank you,
Danny. It's
great
to have you back here in Chicago, back on radio.
Thanks,
Danny. Park, great. You know, I appreciate you guys coming out. To all the people at the score, you know, you guys have been great. So thanks.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's Ron Coomer, and we will get to Max Bear's media story coming up. But hey, Ron Coomer wanted to sit down. What were we going to do? Say no? We're literally in his establishment. We'll get to Max's story coming up on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Back in, McNeil and Parkins on the score at Coombs Corner. Come on out, see the World Series trophy. It'll be here for the next 90 minutes. The previous segment brought to you by Credit Karma. Get your truly free credit score and free credit monitoring from Credit Karma. Download the Credit Karma app today. Credit Karma, get knowing. And this segment is brought to you by White Castle. Tune into the Xfinity Cubs Radio Network for first pitch at 1:20 on Friday. Sponsored in part by White Castle. Forget the mound. Charge to your nearest White Castle to score a cheesy slider combo for $4.99.
5 o'clock hour today, we will share with you some of the conversation earlier today on the score. Cubs boss Theo Epstein spending quality, well, I don't know if it was quality time, if you asked Theo, but I know Dan and Connor felt that way. Theo was on the midday show. We have a chunk of that ready to go during the 5 o'clock hour.
That's right. We'll bring you the chunk at 5:20 and then want to have more of a conversation on the idea of rental player acquisition, because there's also a national baseball insider who links Bryce Harper to the Cubs in a meaningful way. So we'll get to that coming up in a little bit. But I only know a small portion of what you're about to discuss when it comes to the Bears and a media story.
Well, this is something I picked up last night, and this I don't know if this qualifies as news, but I think it's something that some of our listeners will find interesting.
It's a good start.
If you're a Dan Hampton fan, in particular, on the final word on Fox 32 during football season, guess what? This is not going to be your year. Fox no longer is employing Dan on Sunday nights. And it's a reaction to criticisms the Bears have had with their former and still Hall of Famers commentary on Fox. They think he's been too critical. They wanted to make a change. Dan confirmed that to me last night via text. He is under contract at another radio station, so he can't come on. Fox is going to be adding 90 minutes of postgame coverage. Did you guys hear this? Fox will be, after Bears games, they're going to be doing a 90-minute local postgame show. This is new, in addition to the final word at 10:30. And someone said, well, why not have Hamp have a part of that? He's busy on Sunday afternoons. He has previous engagements. But it bothers me because I'm coming around. I'm getting closer to warming up to these new Bears. A lot of the reasons I grew tired, and many people grew tired of this organization, they've been extracted, some of them for a long time now. But when I hear stories like this, it just reminds me of how petty this organization is about some of the most inane conversations. What do you, when you're winning 3 and 4 games, what do you expect people to say? Especially your former players, who you held to a very high standard between 1979 and 91 when Hampton played for the Bears. And it's not about whether you like him on the air or not. It's about what the organization still is capable of doing in terms of being paranoid about the wrong things. That's bothersome to me that they still worry about that and treat their own that way, because he's considered one of their own. As well, if he's one of their own, he doesn't turn. He's being honest. He's being honest, and he's always been honest. You know, I found Dan's commentary over the years to be sometimes difficult to listen to in terms of where he's going, point A to point B to point C. I give him the benefit of the doubt because he's been hitting the head a lot more than most of us. But it just makes me shake my head in disgust at what the Bears still want to mess with that they shouldn't be worried about. What do they care what's being said at 10:30? Why don't you care that you're not forcing turnovers or that you're not converting on third down? That should be the concern.
Yeah, like you said, it's a separate conversation about whether or not you think Dan Hampton is good or not. Like that's immaterial.
Right.
If you are, your story is not whether or not he is good or not. Your story is that he was removed not because of quality of performance by his employer.
Correct.
But he was removed because of their affiliation with the Bears and Bears broadcast. So therefore,
correct,
the Bears thought that his criticism was too critical, to which I would say, that's little league stuff. Like, that's minor leagues, right? That's not big market, big city types of journalism. But unfortunately, in my experience, that's not unique to the Bears. The NFL is wildly sensitive to anything that questions or criticizes the Shield, both on a local level and a national level, if you are in bed with them.
Yeah.
But in this day and age, with how big the NFL is, everybody is in bed with them. All of us, through one form or fashion or another. Now, we have no direct affiliation, but we carry Bears All Access. Our sister station carries Bears games.
Yes.
Other stations in town pay for Bears contributors to come on the air. Other stations that are owned by ESPN, they have Monday Night Football. I mean, think about it. Fox, CBS, NBC, Disney, ESPN, all, quote-unquote, in bed with the Bears. Everybody is in bed with the NFL in some way. So, like, it's one of the great challenges of this time in sports where the rights fees have gotten so big and they've grown to so many different places. Everybody's getting money from them, but good organizations and, frankly, good leagues should know and acknowledge that any form of criticism, as long as it's not personal, right? As long as you are talking about the product on the field. I think that the teams and the leagues have a right that if you are taking personal shots at them when you are business partners with them, I think they've got a right to be upset with that. But if you are critical of a play call, of a performance, of a record, of an effort on a field, and it should not matter whether or not you technically work for a broadcast outlet that takes money from the league or gives money to the league, because they all do.
Right.
And any publicity is good publicity, and they're so big that it's not like Dan Hampton's commentary is going to hurt the bottom line of the Chicago Bears.
I would think not.
Nobody's does. Think about it. All of the reputation hits that the NFL has taken in the last X number of years, and all the stories about the ratings still going down. You want to know how much revenue went down? It didn't.
No.
It grew. It still went up.
The Bears are one of the most profitable teams in the NFL, despite the absence of playoff appearances.
But so my point is, though, is that, like, this happened at ESPN all the time. People have been fired at ESPN for criticism of them. It's been something that's happened at CBS. It's happened everywhere. And so Bob Costas and NBC and the criticism of football, like, that is a bad look for the Bears and Dan Hampton, and that localizes it. So I agree with you on that. But, man, the NFL should just get out of its own way and stop worrying about the buzzards. Like, the, you know, we are nothing in the grand scheme of things to the NFL. So, like, the idea that they have an issue with criticism of a team that's finished last place 4 years in a row is fairly ridiculous. Like, how about a little bit of self-awareness? Like, your fan base will respect you for being able to take it because they're big boys and girls and they can acknowledge, like, hey, last place isn't good.
Right. I mean, there's so many things, and we've talked about them in the couple of months we've been together now, Danny, that give you reasons legitimately to feel better about where they're going.
Yes.
There's been an infusion of new thought, of youth, of successful youth. Free agency was a hit. Most of us are pretty stoked on the draft. And then I hear this last night, and they go, really? I guess you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Look, I could go off personally on some fairly high-ranking people in that organization until we're finished at 6, but I don't, because I don't need to. I point to the record the Bears have had in the last 21 years. I point to the stadium, which is the smallest in the NFL, the stupid hires that have been made. It's just so discouraging to see them so small-minded in Chicago. Come on.
Right. The only thing, the thing I'd say to that, too, though, in terms of blending it with the optimism for some of the football moves, and I'm just hearing about this from you today, and you found out about it last night. In my experience, it's normally not the football people that are very sensitive about this stuff. It's normally the business people and the marketing people.
I think you're right.
And the money people, right? Ryan Pace is not losing a lot of sleep over people on the radio or in print criticizing his draft picks or his performance. Historically, like, and I'm not saying Ryan Pace specifically, but like generally speaking, the GMs and the coaches are not the ones who get people fired or removed from broadcast assignments because they are upset by it.
Right. I mean, two GMs ago, Jerry Angelo came on shows that I hosted over the years, and several times he got mad at me for things I asked him, for things that were said about his administration, about things that were going on between players and coaches. But that never precluded him from picking up the phone 8 weeks later and coming back, or at least being docile when you see him in training camp.
Right. I've worked at a place where the commentary about what I felt was fair about the performance on the field, and we were in business partnership with the team, landed me in some serious hot water, and it sucks. Like, it's a horrible environment to work in. But here, it's never happened once. The only thing that I've ever been told is don't make it personal. Like, you don't say that, like, that guy is a bad person, right? You don't say that guy is a bad, that guy is bad at his job.
Yeah.
That guy is a bad player. That was a bad play. That was a bad pick. Like, as long as you are talking about that, you should be fine. And I've never once, now it's not been that long, but since I've been here, had a problem with anything like that, criticism or praise or otherwise, as long as you don't make it personal. And Dan, as far as I know, Dan Hampton didn't make it personal. He was just talking about it being bad on the field.
I didn't know it to be personal, but I didn't watch a lot of that program the last year or so, last couple years.
It's a weird spot.
Oh, Jim Miller will replace him. Your guy, Jim Miller.
Oh. Well, he's the color analyst on the preseason games.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff can be, like, state-sanctioned programming. Watching those games, you're like, wait, what did you say about Mike Glennon? That was why I couldn't do it. That's why I couldn't do it anymore. It lasted 4 weeks. I was like, come on. Mike Glennon.
Yeah.
He's leading the league in turnovers.
Yeah.
He's not going to be the quarterback next year.
If you're just joining us, wondering what we're talking about, Dan Hampton out on The Final Word on Fox on Sunday nights during football season. Jim Miller in. And Fox will be doing a 90-minute Bears postgame show after the Bears game concludes, which I will not watch because there are several other games where the ball is in the air.
Yeah, and Lawrence Holmes does a great postgame show on TV on NBC Sports Chicago where they are very critical, but fairly critical. Like, right? It's Lance Briggs and Alex Brown, and it was Jim Miller, so I wonder what that'll be going next year. But regardless, I'm just saying, you have plenty of local television post-game options.
Right,
I believe it's going to be Matt Forte, they just announced today. Matt Forte will join.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tanny. You're right. I'm an idiot. Matt Forte was announced today. So that's in conjunction, I assume, with your move that Jim Miller will no longer be there.
Very well could be.
But man, that's minor league stuff. That's just, you should not be hearing that, I would say, anywhere in an NFL market, but certainly not in the third biggest city in the country. It's
and those
ridiculous.
Of you who are texting that the Bulls and White Sox have had similar behavioral traits, you are correct.
Yes. Absolutely. But to me, the most high profile of them have been the NFL, and the NFL is the biggest. So it's the most ridiculous.
What does the eagle care what the fly says about him?
Yeah.
Come on, you're the eagle. You don't pay attention to the fly.
So, no, I agree that there are comps in basketball or hockey or baseball or other. But, like, None of them make the money that the NFL does. None of them have the stranglehold of the American sports fan that the NFL does. So none of them should care as much as the NFL does about these sorts of things. That's a ridiculous story. But there it is, Dan McNeil with some breaking media news.
Oh, it's just gossip. It's just...
Yeah, you're right. That's more gossip.
Yeah, just gossip. I like my Bears gossip.
That gossip brought to you by U.S. Waterproofing. Basement leaking from the recent storms? Visit uswaterproofing.com to schedule a free consultation. You'll hear Theo Epstein in 30 minutes if you missed it. We're McNeil and Parkins on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Great pull by Tanny. That's an all-time Cubs Sox moment, and I was there. That was the one time that he played in a Major League Baseball stadium was at Wrigley Field.
Mm-hmm.
Crosstown Classic, they gave away like souvenir posters that day. Still have it framed, not in my current spot, but it's in the basement of my parents' house. It said play ball on it's collector's item, sells for a decent amount on eBay right now. But that was in my dad's heyday, you know, they're making money in the stock market in the 90s. The internet boom took me and my two best friends back the day. We got out of school. It was a day game at Wrigley, and our seats were front row and right field.
Oh, Faba, yeah. I would like to be able to see the whites of MJ's eyes when he strides to the dish, Daddy.
It was one of the most balling things, at his peak.
95, yeah. I'm guessing?
Yeah. Yeah, 95, Wrigley Fields, Crosstown Classic. God, that was awesome.
And you're right. That's when it legitimately was the Crosstown Classic.
Yes.
It for many years, drove me crazy. And it's usually television people who refer to it as the Crosstown. No, the Crosstown Classic was a charity game where Steve Lyons once played all nine positions, I think. It was either Steve Lyons or Jim Sundberg-ish. We're the ish show.
Yeah, it's the ish
somebody,
show.
Yeah.
They were telling stories.
But yeah, Michael Jordan can participate in the game. That's when it was just a charity game. That was the Crosstown Classic. But I've evolved. I will not be upset tomorrow if anybody refers to it as the Crosstown Classic, because I've learned to not care about some things.
Good for you.
Yeah.
It's a new Happy Gilmore.
This is what we call
new Dan McNeil.
Evolvement. I love that word.
Evolution.
It's not a word. I know.
Yeah,
I love when people say evolvement.
Well, then one of my goals will be to make you lighten up a little bit on the...
Grammar?
On the grammar. Just a little.
Well, that's not going to happen.
Okay. Good
talk. I mean, all right, a little. I will. I have a little already.
Well, yeah, I make a lot of
mistakes.
I let
a few things slide
you make
today
a few things...
already.
Oh, really?
You occasionally will offer the I when it should be me, but it sounds like a lot of people talk. So a lot of people just don't care.
Well, see, that is kind of what I go for. I'm not writing a term paper here. It's conversation. And the point of language...
Yeah, you'll sometimes end a sentence in a preposition.
The point of language is to communicate a thought. So as long as you know what I'm saying, does it really matter if I say it exactly correctly?
Yeah, but if you go to Syracuse, you should communicate that thought artfully, mister.
Man,
that's a big-time broadcast school.
It is, but that's not what they teach you. They help you get a job.
You didn't have classes with writing? You didn't
of
have
course
writing?
I did.
Okay, I was going to say.
Of course.
How can you do this
of course.
Writing, learning language?
Language, you know... Broadcast writing, presentation. It's the network. That's why you go.
Hearing Harry Carey's voice just pumped me up. And that was not really good, Harry Carey. That was pretty sloppy, Harry, in 1995. But still, it's good to hear his voice. 94. I was thinking 94. Or 94 was his first year away from the Bulls. Right? That's when he walked away for 2 years.
He came back in the... 94,
in 95.
94, yeah. 95 season.
And they lost to Orlando
exactly.
In the conference semis or final?
Yeah, it was second.
Semis.
Yeah, it was the
semis. Okay, yeah.
We like to strike that from the record books for all
Nick Anderson's deal never happened.
Yeah, for all Michael Jordan conversations.
They couldn't find a way to stop the former Illini star. Nick Anderson ate him up.
And he missed two free throws in the finals and
yes, he
stopped
did.
Himself for the rest of his career.
See, that's why Shep and Grobstein need to go toe-to-toe in a trivia contest.
I heard Grobber's scared.
He's sounded
not
like it.
He's not sure he wants to do it. Is that what he told you?
He told me he was non-committal. Check back with him on Friday when I asked him last night.
Wow.
Check back on Friday.
He's ducking you.
think that's what it is.
You think that's what it is?
It's got to be that, doesn't it?
I can't think of it could be.
Anything else.
Maybe Shep is on Gropper's pay no mind list, I think.
Oh, really? Hasn't earned his Spurs yet, perhaps?
He always asks me to do transition when I host until midnight. But when I catch a 12:30 train, I can't stick around and do transition, because if you ever do transition with Gropper, you don't get out of there at 12:10 or 12:15. Right. You're there until 12:40, and you're, oh, there's not another train for 5 hours.
You're not getting out of there unless you want to support the wave.
Right.
Is it possible he's angry with us, at us?
I mean, anything's possible.
Yeah, I know that, but I mean, I just wondered.
Anything's possible.
We've played some of his stuff recently. The wave tangent he went off on. We played that and made fun of him.
I mean, sure, it's possible, but...
He seemed passionate about that, though. So, like, replaying someone with a very passionate thought, whether it's about the wave or whether it's about the Cubs batting order...
Yes! I mean, that's...
We all try kind of the same in what we do.
Try to play sound bites that we enjoy from other shows so we can turn other people on to those shows and
There's
promote
no
our teammates.
There's no malicious intent ever, but, you know...
No. Well, I can't believe a guy who does radio would be sensitive like that. Grobber's been doing this forever.
I don't know that he is. I think he's scared of Shep. You think he's mad at us.
I don't scared know. Of those Super Bowl 30 trivia questions that Mackey's going to write up for me.
I think that's what it is. So we'll get into some Cubs stuff coming up. Theo Epstein, if you missed it, at 5:20 on The Score.